obviously, we're still talking about the legislative session. It's still scheduled to run another few weeks here. And one of the big issues still on this table remains education reform. Now, last week, the House Republicans made a compromise offer in terms of what they're hoping to do as the conference committee meets to mitigate the differences between the House and Senate bill. Tell us what that consists of, what that compromise is.
Sure. Yes, that's correct. Basically, what the House compromise proposal is that it keeps intact all of the policy language and appropriations that were in the House Ed Reform Bill, which was House File 215, and it has a 2% increase in allowable growth for fiscal year 2014, plus an additional one-time payment equivalent to 2% allowable growth. So 2% is towards the baseline. There's another one-time 2% that goes, which so in essence, there's 4% growth for fiscal year 14. And in addition to that, it adds a 4% increase to the baseline of allowable growth for fiscal year 2015, which was not in either Ed Reform Bill that I'm aware of in this process.
Okay, and then what about the other main issues? You know, minimum teacher pay. There's been disagreement on where that should be, and teacher evaluations as well.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All of the compromise is that we meet the Senate on the allowable growth, the funding that they had asked for on the allowable growth, but we keep the policy that was enacted by the House, which has the base minimum salary at $32,000 a year, and all the other accountability measures that was put in the education package on the House side. So that's the part of the compromise. We're really sold on our side as far as on the House side as far as the policy, and that's we feel very firmly about that, and so we're willing to meet the Senate halfway on the financial end of it.
Talking a little bit about that too, now that it's in conference committee, how do you keep up with the negotiations that are going on? Who do you talk to?
I obviously talk with the Republican members of the conference committee. There are because the House is in there's 10 members of that conference committee. Three from the majority party in the House and two from the minority in the House, and then you know vice versa in the Senate. So there's three Republican members and two Senate three Republican House members, and there's two Republican senators as well. Just kind of keep in contact with them as far as what's going on in that negotiations, and they're constantly looking for feedback from all of the other House members. We want to know what's agreeable to everyone, and so we just stay on daily contact.
And obviously, like this week, the negotiations really got started. I imagine some of the first meetings of those conference committees. How do you see this progressing over the next couple of weeks? Do you think that something can be reached this upcoming week, 2 weeks?
I'm very hopeful because I think that one of the big issues that the Senate was concerned about was the funding. And I think this compromise meets that criteria that they had set forth. I mean, yes, you had to go through all the formalities first. I really feel like this compromise is doable. And I really hope the Senate takes this up, because if they don't, it pretty much nukes the whole process and we have to start all over again. And I don't think anyone wants that. This gives 4% growth to our schools. Of course, for fiscal year 14, 2% goes to the baseline. But in addition to that, we're also setting aside 4% for fiscal year 15 as well. So it allows it to not be a political football every year. I mean, that's the one thing that we keep having this back and forth business, you know, with each legislative session. Here we're setting it for 2 years, so that way our school administrators can do their budgets appropriately. And so I really hope the Senate, I'm very hopeful that the Senate will take this up.
On a different note, you've been working on a recreational land use issue. Take us briefly through that best you can, and then tell us what you've been working on.
Sure. Well, what happened is back in February of this year, there was a recreational land use statute, which basically says that if I come onto someone's property to hunt or fish or snowmobile, any type of recreational land use, that landowner has certain liability protections. You know, if I'm doing something, if I break my leg while I'm hunting, you know, I can't come back on the farmer because he was kind enough to let me onto his land to go hunting. That's in recent years, it's been kind of extended to that recreational use has been extended also to like farm tours, you know, when school kids come out and do farm tours. There was a situation where there was a farm tour going on, and one of the chaperones from the school got injured on the farm, and this went all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, in the, is the Sally versus Stewart decision back in February of this year. And in that decision, they not only ruled on that the merits of that particular case, but they also the decision threw a lot of question marks into the other parts of the recreational land statute dealing with hunting and recreation, other recreational use, nature walking, and so
forth. The more traditional uses.
The more traditional uses, right. And so there is a, it essentially, in a nutshell, it threw a lot of ambiguity into that law, so much so that a lot of farm groups, a lot of independent insurance agents, and so on and so forth are very concerned that it essentially stripped out the liability protection from that statute from private landowners, from farmers and rural landowners. And so right now I'm working on a bill, House File 605. This, like I said, this was a sleeper issue, came out of nowhere, but it's a big deal. And we're getting contacted right now from turkey hunters who are not able to gain access because farmers are concerned whether or not they have liability protection that they've had for the last 50 years. And so it'll be an even bigger issue if the legislature doesn't fix it before the fall pheasant and deer season this later on this year. So it's something that it just come out of nowhere. It's a big issue. A lot of people, there's a lot of different voices clamoring on what we should do with that. If we don't do anything of substance, it's going to be it's going to affect our way of life here in Iowa. And so I'm leading the charge on the subcommittee of this bill and out of Judiciary. And so I'm working hard to make sure that we actually get it passed and get something over to the Senate and get something on the governor's desk before we're out by May 3rd.
And hopefully May 3rd is when you're out. That's the scheduled date, which means you actually have your scheduled last legislative coffee session coming up here this upcoming Friday. Just remind us of the details again.
Sure. This coming Friday, April 19th, I'll be at Russell in the morning for a legislative coffee at 8 a.m. And then, as always, at the Knoxville Chamber office at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And yes, we are keeping our fingers crossed that we'll get all our business done by May 3rd.